AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a big midweek of European action. Celtic are in Rotterdam to play Feyenoord in what will surely be one of Martin O'Neill's final games in charge. It's Braga at home for Rangers as Danny Rule reacts to the sackings of Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thelwell. And we hear from Nicholas Raskin for the first time since the Russell Martin debacle. And Motherwell put in a very impressive performance to beat Hibs as Partick Thistle go level at the top of the Championship. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans.
The Motherwell manager said his team were outstanding to watch against Hibs last night, and who am I to argue? I am already looking forward to Motherwell versus Hearts in the Premiership on Saturday. That's going to be a tremendous game, a full house I would suspect at Fir Park. But before then, I think the Celtic fans and the Rangers fans can prepare themselves for a long night in the Europa League. If their performances in the Premiership were anything to go by at the weekend, I can't believe that Simon Donnelly took a bottle of red wine from me and says he hasn't even opened it yet after Celtic's performance at Paisley.
Yeah, first time I've been in your company since the red wine. Thank you very much. I'm leaving it for a special occasion here. Big night tomorrow night for Rangers and Celtic. I agree with you. I think they'll be difficult games, and probably, you know, they have to take something from those games. Looking at the previous results in the campaign, looking back the way fantastic for your team last night, Gordon. You've been non-stop talking about it since I came into the office tonight, and rightly so. I've only seen Motherwell the one time this season really in the flesh at Celtic Park, and they were very impressive and very unlucky not to get something that day as well. So another fantastic result for them last night. And I mentioned to my old club as well, Mark Wilson doing wonders at Partick Thistle.
Yeah, loads to get through tonight, so let's get stuck in on those phones if you can, please. We'd love to hear from you on a whole number of topics. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, we are going to be live to Rotterdam to get the very latest from the Celtic camp ahead of that game against Feyenoord. How do you feel generally about Europe? Because it's clearly not been great, but there's been some okay moments. It's still arithmetically very possible that you do progress, or have you given up on it already? I wonder how you're feeling generally about Europe. Are we all expecting this to be maybe not the final game for Martin O'Neill, but certainly one of them? Penultimate game maybe? I don't know, you tell us how you see it. Maybe some slightly better news on the injury front, which you've not had in a while. Kelechi Iheanacho and Marcelo Cerracci were training today ahead of that game. So all your thoughts in there, please. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, you've all been reacting to the sacking of Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thelwell. Well, today we get the reaction from Danny Rule. Says he'll be needing to take more to do with recruitment going forward. Is that a good thing? Do you trust him? You didn't trust the other two. Also, what does that say though for the structure? Because is this the whole point? The head coach should maybe be working underneath that structure. So let us know your thoughts there. It'll be interesting to hear from Nico Raskin for the first time since he was pretty much frozen out under Russell Martin. Remember him. So lots to get through there as well. Similar to you, you're in a worse position in terms of points. I don't know if any Rangers fans out there still harbour hopes of progressing in Europe. Again, arithmetically maybe still possible, but almost verging on more than unlikely. So get your thoughts in there, please. And come on then, you Motherwell fans, because I share your joy. I agree of how good it was last night. And yes, Hibs were down to 10 men, but my word, it was impressive. The number of passes, the success of those passes, the complete dominance at Fir Park. What did you make of it? just how good was that to watch last night? How excited are you getting about what is ticking along there in the league, certainly under Jens Bertel Askew? And Partick Thistle fans, our very own Mark Wilson and Alex Ray, masterminding an assault on the top of the Championship. We'll take your thoughts as well. What more could you want from a Wednesday night, Hugh Keevans?
Well, first of all, Partick Thistle, they've won the same number of games as St Johnston, drawn the same number, lost the same number. They're only separated by 6 goals of a difference. So good luck to Mark and to Alec Ray going forward. It's great to see it happen. Tomorrow night, I honestly believe that Europe is a waste of time for Celtic and Rangers. Rangers haven't won a game, haven't won a point. Just forget it. They've got more important things to deal with at home. And for Celtic, no. They'll have a long night in Rotterdam, even though Feyenoord are not exactly pulling up trees.
Did you see the opposition scoring against Feyenoord at the weekend? It wasn't quite Kenny McLean, but it was similar ilk.
I did. Yeah, it's going to be interesting because that's what I'm hoping to kind of come through in the phones as well, because I get Hugh's point. I wouldn't attempt to polish Celtic's position at the moment. I wouldn't. I couldn't. You know, the performances and everything that's going on. But they do have 4 points already. Do you give up at this stage?
I don't think you can give up. I take Hugh's point on board. That's not looking good for either of them. Celtic have got 4 points. A win tomorrow, you could change things. But listen, Celtic will never give up. The fans won't allow that. I know what you're going to say.
But they're both out of their depth. Celtic and Rangers are out
they've
of
struggled.
Their depth.
They have struggled.
And they have more important things to deal with. Celtic have a cup final against St Mirren, and their league title is in jeopardy. Rangers are now 4 games in a row, winners under Danny Rule. And that is more important to the Rangers fans. The Rangers fans have written off Europe.
It is, but seeing football sometimes shoots the knock-on effect as well. You know, if they to go tomorrow with that attitude and 2 heavy defeats, it doesn't augur well going into the weekend. Yeah. You know, they want to try and get something
Danny
positive.
Danny Rose had 2 defeats in Europe as Rangers head coach, manager, whatever he's called. And they have prospered domestically. And I think that the Rangers fans, with all that's gone on this week, the Rangers fans approve of Danny Rule, and they didn't approve of Russell Martin. The Rangers fans approve of the decision to get rid of Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart, and they approve of the notion that Danny Rule might have had something to do with that.
Loads to get through. 01419511025. I've not even mentioned the fact that Livingston have had their acknowledgement from the Scottish FA that they should have got a penalty at Ibrox at the weekend. We've been well covered on this one because we've had Marvin Bartley in on Sunday and last night. So my goodness,
was he in again last night? Was he?
You could not ask for more of the Livingston perspective on that one. If you've still got an appetite for that, you know where we are. That's the sort of thing that keeps us ticking. 01419511025. But we do have European action as well, so let's cross live to Rotterdam and get the latest from the Celtic camp with Andrew McLean.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with the clubhouse Prince's Square, taproom and home of live sport in Glasgow.
Okay, Andrew, bring us up to speed. What do we need to know?
Yeah, we've just finished speaking to Martin O'Neill here at the Kuip, which is Feyenoord's really impressive stadium, as you can see behind me. But the big news really is that Martin O'Neill confirming the news that we kind of knew already, that Celtic's managerial appointment is imminent. We do know that that is going to be Wilfried Nancy. Martin O'Neill was asked about that. He was saying that this will be his final European game in charge of Celtic. It's our understanding that he will then take charge of the game at Easter Road on Sunday, and then Wilfried Nancy is set to be appointed after that. So Martin O'Neill just talking about the fact that, yes, this will be his penultimate game in charge. He said he would have preferred the fact that if he was having a final European game at Celtic, that he would have liked to have been at Celtic Park because of the atmosphere and everything that goes along with that. But it's certainly going to be a lively game here tomorrow because the Feyenoord fans know how to make noise as well. So should be a good atmosphere for what, as I say, is going to be Martin O'Neill's final European game in charge of Celtic, and then one more game for him to come this coming weekend.
And it's we're, you know, I think we're talking to the guys, Andrew, about what the belief is like, if there is any left, or the appetite is there for European football. Celtic have got 4 points, so they've got more than enough fixtures left to try and progress. I think 10 even was enough in some instances last season to progress. It might take 11. It's hard to know. We've only had one season in this current format. Feyenoord, the name is certainly there, the history, but they're not in particularly good form either, are they?
No, not in great shape at the moment. They've lost their last three games. They are conceding a lot of goals. They haven't really been in the form that you'd expect a Feyenoord team to be in. And they're kind of toiling, in desperate need of points, and so are Celtic. When you look at Celtic's situation, no, it's not ideal, but they can still progress in this competition. They obviously need to show better than last time out, but Celtic are capable of getting through in this competition. Yes, performance levels need to be better, but two wins in Celtic's remaining games is maybe good enough to see Celtic. Martin O'Neill will feel that Celtic can maybe do something in this game tomorrow night against a Feyenoord team that definitely aren't in any sort of form. And then you've got games to go after that, so not all should feel really that they can still progress in this competition.
What about the team news? It's been nothing but bad news really for Celtic fans in recent times. Is there a slight glimmer that things are starting to turn on that front? I know they've got long term injuries still.
Yeah, certainly in the case of Kelechi Iheanacho, who was back in training this morning. He was spotted at Celtic Park training, and he's actually travelled with the squad. I'm not sure many people expected that to be the case. Maybe it was, you know, people thought he would be back in training, but would maybe be building up to the weekend or into next week. But he has travelled. I asked Martin O'Neill about his injury situation, and he said it's still to be assessed over the next 24 hours. So we're not 100% sure if he's definitely going to be involved, what that's going to look like. But Martin O'Neill saying that Kelechi Iheanacho does offer something that Celtic have maybe lacked in the last few weeks, so he might be keen to try and get him up and running in this game tomorrow night, even if it is just from a place on the bench.
Just to quickly clarify, Martin O'Neill saying it will be his final European game, I think we probably expect that. Did he go as far as to confirm that it will be after this weekend, or is there still the chance that he takes charge next midweek in the league?
I mean, there is still a chance. Certainly, the understanding is that it would be Martin O'Neill's final game this weekend, but he wasn't going down the path of saying exactly how many games he'll be in charge of. But the one thing he did give certainty on, that there will be an announcement imminent, however long imminent is, and did say that this will be his final European game. So expecting that this weekend could be his final game, but you never know. It could be an extra midweek one in there, because Celtic, of course, play next Wednesday night as well.
Yeah, busy schedule. Thank you to Andrew McLean. Looks freezing over there in Rotterdam. But then again, it's freezing here as well. Let's bring in George on the phones and see what he's thinking as a Celtic fan tonight. Take it away, George.
Good evening, Gordon. How you doing, boys?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. I'm a bit excited about your first. I've got 2 points, but the first point is I agree with you. It's a right. Europe's a write-off for Celtic Football Club for the foreseeable future. Until you get any ambition. Celtic lack ambition. I know last year we brought in £30 million worth of talent, the boy Engels, and the boy Ida, and the boy Trusty, and one or two others that we brought in. But I thought we'd have kicked on for that, you know, last minute equaliser by Bayern Munich and get through the last 16, and we would have kicked on from that. But the carpet was built from under Brendan's feet, as far as I'm concerned as a supporter. There was no further backing the guy, keep on continuing to back to go forward. And until that happens, we won't see. And it's the same with the new manager, Gordon. If the new manager comes in and they back him to the hilt, and then they're not going to, it's not a European thing. This is a domestic run Celtic. They're not interested in Europe. I agree with Hugh Keevans 100%. It's a write-off. Europe is a write-off in general. Until you continue to back a manager that's going to be allowed to build a team and not sell your best players.
Again, Hugh, maybe I'm just getting hung up on the arithmetic of it all. It feels like if you're sitting with, I don't mean to bring Rangers into this in such a direct way, but I think if you're sitting with 0 points at this stage, that's like the official definition of a write-off. I just feel like whilst you're still there, you're next to a whole batch of teams that are on 4 points. Feyenoord lost at home to Nijmegen at the weekend. I'm not confident Celtic win necessarily. That's not the point I'm trying to make. I just feel like, does it need to be so defeatist already?
I thought Celtic were breathtakingly bad against St Mirren on Saturday night, and they've run out of players, and they've been unfortunate because the treatment room is full of top quality players who'd be in the team. However, those who are able to play are simply not up to it. Celtic's main priority is to keep pace with Hearts in the league and keep pace with those round about them, which now includes Motherwell, Hibs, who were awful last night, but they're still in there. Celtic's priority is not to lose a cup final to a team who are 2 points off the bottom of the Premiership table. And Celtic's priority is to try and have a very good transfer window in January to see if they can retain their title. Europe is over and done with. No matter how indifferent Feyenoord have been in their own domestic competition, they'll be too good for Celtic tomorrow night. And then comes Roma, who have already beaten Rangers at Ibrox and who'll be far too good for Celtic. A write-off.
Listen, it may well be Hugh predicts games. I don't. Yeah. Maybe I'm just in denial from a Scottish perspective. Yeah. It doesn't matter Celtic or Rangers. The drop off then is, as George says, from Bayern Munich to giving up on the Europa League after four games is that's bad. Then it's worse than
listen,
I thought.
I agree with both of you. Kind of, I'm not overly confident for tomorrow, but I wouldn't say it's a write off. Celtic, if they pull a result out the hat, they would be sitting on 7 points. I think George is more alluding to the disappointment of the transfer window in the summer there and not getting into the Champions League again. I think that's where George's feelings lie at the moment. And I can't argue with the squad being weaker. It's been even more weakened by injury.
I'd have to turn it the other way. On what do you base? I know you've said that, but on what do you base any semblance of confidence about Europe?
Well, it's a game of football.
So was St Mirren.
Yeah, I know. So was Rangers in the semi-final. It changes every week, Hugh. I'm sitting here saying I'm not confident that Celtic will go and get a result tomorrow, but it's football. I wouldn't write it off. Why would you write Europe off? They're sitting on 4 points. Why would you just... I don't see the point of that.
Again, the
you're saying about focusing domestically. Now, they have to focus domestically because that's the demand that's put on Celtic every year. But you can't just go there tomorrow and go, well,
I'm basing it on the general state of the squad at the present time. As I say, I cut them all the slack in the world.
Not turn up?
No, of course not. But I'm simply stating my belief that it's too much for them. And
it's looking that way.
Domestically, they had better be careful that domestic football doesn't become too much for them. I've cut them the slack. The treatment room is full of players who would be in the team. That's desperately unfortunate. But as you said, that's football.
Yeah.
And you have a succession of players who are currently in the team. Engels, Hatate, Maeda, Johnny Kenny taken off at half-time at Paisley because he was so bad. Iheanacho, I don't know whether he would start tomorrow. I very much doubt it. If you're still assessing his fitness overnight, then clearly he won't start against Feyenoord. That for me, they're just far too short of quality to have anything to do with Europe.
Yeah, do have some tough fixtures. Bologna away. Bologna are only in 5 points at the moment as well, and Rome at home. Yeah. So there are some tough ones. George, Martin O'Neill's final European game, probably his, I don't know, second last game, third last, depends how you look at it. What do you make of how that's playing out?
Yeah, I agree with what the club has done. It might have been a bit early to bring the boy. I know that I don't like Wilfred Nancy. It was just a tough 3 games to come in. St Mirren, who it proved to be an absolute outstanding game. He was right. Not a great game to watch, but St Mirren, Celtic didn't do anything against them. And coming in against Feyenoord is a tough away European fixture, then going to Hibs. But it's been a tough 3 games for the boy to come right in on top of. I agree with the club has done. But can I reassure every Rangers fan out there that this guy coming in, Wilfred Nancy, he's better bring a ball the next time you come to Parkhead. That's all the time you'll see a ball if you bring your own.
You high hopes for this guy, George?
This guy is outstanding, Gordon. This guy's going to write a new chapter in your club's history as far as I'm concerned. And this guy won the Champions League within 7 years.
You tell me that I go off of the...
So hold on a minute. This is what I'm saying.
Sorry, you might... I'm not for Celtic.
We'll
have this guy about 2 years if you're lucky. He'll be gone in 2 years. But see, whoever he goes to, guys, they'll win the Champions League. This guy will come and win the Champions League, no problem whatsoever. What a football brain. Outstanding.
My goodness, what an endorsement from George. But just imagine that came true. Imagine in 5 years Wilfred Nancy wins the Champions League with whoever.
George just put it out there.
It'd be the greatest shout of all time. Listen, I don't know.
If I had said that, you'd have ridiculed me. You and Donnelly would have been queuing
this
up.
Was new. This was. I think it was the uniqueness of it that caught me off guard, because he wasn't saying Celtic will win the Champions League. It was a prediction about a man.
Yeah.
Rather than again. And by the way, you're getting a bit on your high horse about your predictions this early in the show. Have you forgotten how bad you are?
No. I'm not talking. That's not a prediction. George has got a
fortune teller.
2 years at Celtic and then goes to a club somewhere else and wins the Champions League. I repeat, if I had said that, you'd be queuing up to get me.
Imagine somebody had said when Ange came in, but he'll win the Europa League in a couple of seasons. You know what I mean?
I know.
I think Champions League gets it's a bold shout, George. It is bold. Anyway, 01419511025. Keep the calls coming. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans are here as we build up to a big night of European action. We'd love to look back on last night in the Premiership as well, or the Championship if you're that way inclined. So do pick up those phones, please, on 0141 951 1025. Stephen is in Kirkintilloch. Hi, Stephen.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Pleasure. What are you thinking?
I had a couple of points. First one was about the impending arrival of Wilfred Nancy. I personally am looking forward to it. I think Martin's done a great job coming in and steadying the ship after Brendan's departure. I know a lot of Celtic fans probably aren't too enamoured by the impending arrival of a new manager, but I mean, I think after what happened with Ange, I don't think we can be too judgmental and too quick off the mark to dismiss a man because we maybe not have heard of him. You know, I've done a tiny wee bit of research on how he plays. I love the idea of his 3-4-3 formation. I think it's in keeping with how Celtic as a football club want to attack. You know, a lot of people will say he's not an elite level manager. Well, look, we've just got rid of one, and what did he do this season apart from struggle? You know, so I think we have to back the man in. And I think we have to look at his ethos. And I think with the right players, I think it could be fantastic. Genuinely, I really do.
I think a bit of patience will be required, Stephen. And I know people are going to say you don't get that here. But first and foremost, is he just going to have to sort of patch together what's there and get a tune out of what's there before you can think about obviously adding in January? And then, you know, we spoke about it last night. It's such a busy schedule. I don't even know how many full training sessions Wilfred Nancy will get. It's always the same in any manager when they're appointed at this time of the season.
Yeah, listen, 100%. I think he'll have to come in and bed himself in. It's not ideal coming in at this stage of the season. You know, there's obviously we're diluted in personnel. I think if he can just continually try and win games by maybe using the existing formation that we have in personnel and try and implement his own change when he gets his personnel in that he's looking for. You know, I think if we can get to January transfer window, I'm more than expecting the board to try and back them. I think if they didn't back him in January, you know, to quite a serious amount, I think they're clearly really making a rod for their own back, considering where the board and the fans are sitting at this moment in time.
I know, that's going to be interesting. We're now getting ahead of ourselves, but we're so fixated on the amount. But we just did this with the previous caller. Arne Engels, Adam Ida, Austin Trusty, mm-hmm. Balakwisha, Tinit. It's got to be about more than the amount spent. Celtic could easily go and spend 20 million badly. And then where does that get you?
The problem is they've spent £2 and 3 million badly now. You know, they've got players there who are just littering up the place.
Balakwisha was five. You know for sure the fee for Ida, Engels, Trusty, we speak about it all the time. I just think the fixation on the total amount spent is just missing the point, yeah, because we've got so many examples that contradict it.
First of all, Stephen though said that Wilfried Nancy had a certain style of play which Stephen had researched and loved the look of it. And then he said, but he doesn't want me to use that style. He wants me to use the style they've got just now. Well, as I understand it, Wilfred Nancy, that is his style. The players will have to implement his style.
That's what I'm saying, that sometimes though, you're just a slave to the schedule. They genuinely will have, because you know what it's like nowadays.
Well, you're just talking about
your match day minus about, ones and whatever.
You're asking about training sessions at the moment. Now, I've had a look at, we were discussing before we came on air tonight about the schedule that's ahead of Celtic just now going into December. I think there's six or seven games.
Well, look, take Danny Rule. We've just done this with our other big clubs. So you can make changes. First of all, he made them hard to beat, and then there was three at the back for a bit, but then he's gone back to four, and maybe some of the performances are not quite, but he's just trying to get results just now. That might just,
it's a bit of balance as well. You look at Martin O'Neill coming in, and I'm with you, Celtic performed poorly at the weekend. I think there's nobody will disagree with that, but they came away with the points at the end. It was a fantastic strike. The games before domestically, Kilmarnock, Falkirk, they were decent. They got results. This guy's going to have to come in. He's in a title race. He's in a title race. He's going to have to win games. So if it's a bit of balance, there's players coming back. I agree with Stephen. I think the transfer window, although it's 8, 9, 10 games away, I think it's an
Stephen,
important
you,
one.
Stephen, Hugh Keevans has given up on Europe altogether. So has the previous caller. Have you?
I think in the grand, listen, as a Celtic fan, and I'll say this even for Rangers fans, we never truly give up, but I think in my heart of hearts, I think there's bigger fish to fry and bigger concerns. I would love to win tomorrow, and I would love to have a fighting chance, but in reality, if we went out of Europe, I don't think I would be too bothered. I would much rather bed the new manager in and have a fighting chance of winning the league. If I was, but I mean, fans, every fan will be different. For me, the money that we get in Europe, I think it's not really a paramount concern to me. Now, I would rather win the league, if I'm being brutally honest.
Oh, listen, but you don't have to choose. You know, I think most would clearly agree with that. I think maybe what would be willing to concede if Celtic lose tomorrow night, then you can probably start shifting your focus. I'm just basing it purely on this table where the top 24 progress in one way or another, and Celtic are 27th. Fine order below Celtic, yes, albeit by 1 point, which would change tomorrow. I just wonder, like, so have all of those teams given up, or are Celtic unique to this? So everybody below Celtic, they've given up.
No, you know, we're talking to fans here, and I have expressed the opinion that it's a foregone conclusion that Celtic won't be in Europe much longer. But the concern I have is that Celtic at the moment, they are denied so much talent, and there are players on the bench who are so inadequate, and their concern is trying to hold on by their fingertips to their league title and not to lose a cup final to the team, I repeat, who are 2 points off the bottom of the league. Mm. Those are Celtic's priorities.
I actually think the sort of emphasis on the struggle in Paisley the other night, I think has maybe been overplayed, Simon, because St Mirren are really good, and good Celtic teams have stuttered there. I think what made me more concerning is the personnel. Mm-hmm. You know, guys who individually are not performing, guys that are having to play out of position. Did we see Arne Ingles at right back for
played
a bit
right
in the
back
game?
For a spell, went back,
you know,
to right back.
And when everybody knew the issue at right wing, but when you want to make a change at half time, it's Luke McCowan who goes on there. Things like that. Rather, look, teams are going to go to Paisley and struggle. Yeah. And I don't think that in isolation is alarming, but maybe what sort of is going into
up front
it.
Alarming.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, some of those individual departments would be a worry, surely.
Yeah, obviously, and that's not really been addressed really since Kyogo Adamida goes in the summer. And I said it before, and I used the word by default. Johnny Kenny found himself leading the line by default. And he actually came in. He's the more experienced striker. He gets injured. Johnny Kenny's came in. He's did okay. He scored 3 or 4 goals. I don't think you can just put it at Johnny Kenny's door on Saturday evening. I think Celtic as a whole were poor, but as you say, it's all hands to the pump at the moment. There's players playing it out of position. The squad's weakened. I'm not going to try and polish it off as something it wasn't, but they walked away with 3 points.
There's another thing coming up. Tonekti, I assume, will go with Tunisia to the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think many times he flatters to deceive, but he brings something to the side when he's on his game. unlike Balakwisha, who will never bring anything to the side. But Tunetke will be off to the African Cup of Nations shortly.
Thank you very much to Stephen. Let's squeeze one more in before the travel. Josh is on. How are you, Josh?
Hi, guys. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Hi, Josh.
Well, thank you.
What are you thinking?
Well, I was just wanting to speak about Thelwell and Patrick Stewart, guys. I suppose I just wanted to... I was kind of reflecting on Danny Rill's comments today about how he's going to have a bigger role in recruitment in the time coming. And it's probably underlined to me that... And I think we've probably seen this way... Gerard and with Muscat as well, and the fact that Danny Rill initially didn't want the job after going into the meeting with the two Ronnies. Clearly there was an issue there with the structure of the club that most managers have looked in, and it's interesting that Danny Rill's basically just went into the door and he's, you know, he, by all accounts, what I've heard is that he's identified the squad after a number of weeks, and he's apparently went back with some sort of dossier of the players, you know, some sort of a red, amber, green system, and it's looking like the boys that have been recruited are no meeting the standards of green or amber, which is no surprise to me, because apart from maybe Gassama, and there's one or two of them that you maybe think, well, maybe Danny Rowe might be able to get a tune at them. The recruitment has been absolutely shocking, absolutely terrible, and it's all down, in my view, it's actually all down to a guy in Kevin Thelwell who is an English football executive, no connection to Rangers whatsoever. Had no idea of the job that he was being asked to do when he came up here. I think he thought he was going into Sheffield United or Burnley FC or whatever. And I don't think he understood anything about it. And some of this stuff is coming out. I mean, that 25-8 comment, one of the most Brentism things you could ever come out with.
Remember it, Hugh?
That was the doom for him.
That was it, saying that his son was working 25-8, that was it, that was worse than anything else he did.
Well, I mean, see, just on that, guys, right, I mean, I work for a public body, right, and I'm a trade unionist, a public body, and one of the things that we identify is, and it's a rule and policy that direct family members cannot have any sort of role in employing or working with direct family members. For this guy to employ his son, and I don't know whether this is true or not, but I'm also led to believe his wife gets some sort of role at the club.
I have no idea. We couldn't prove that.
But listen, to summarise, I think that Danny Rule has been approached by Andrew Kavanagh and said, "What do you think?" And he said, "The squad's hopeless. And we'll need a severe overhaul."
It's a big problem, that, isn't it? In terms of, well, I say a problem, I think the Rangers fans will celebrate that.
Yeah.
They trust Danny Rule. They did not trust the other two.
Yeah.
If Danny Rule's feedback has led to the departure of those two, Rangers fans will all be happy.
Yeah.
But it's also not really how the structure's meant to work, is it?
I know, but in the short term,
is that the case? It's just like a short term fix. And
well, I mean, it's only a matter of time before someone looks at Andrew Kavanagh and says, "You brought these people here. It's your fault." So I think he's looked after himself into the bargain. And Danny Rule has strengthened his own hand within Ibrox, because he has isolated certain players who will never be up to it. And in the transfer window in January, as they have to do, Rangers will offload plenty. And plenty will go back to parent clubs and all the rest of it.
I don't know, in January though, it might be hard to do that. You know, if the loan agreements are in place, I don't know what the finer detail are, if you can terminate them. Some of them you might not be able to.
Well, yeah, but they're going to have to investigate every case here, because Danny Rule can't have a double-decker dressing room for all the people who are there and getting in the way. He's got a job to do from now until December, and then in January he'll kick off with a Celtic game, And the window had better be good after that, because he'll be going for the title.
Because like I said, Simon, I think this has obviously been received as good news by the Rangers fans. I'm not trying to say that it isn't, but all of a sudden you've even got Danny Rule's role, easy for me to say, has changed. The guy's only been in the door 6 weeks, and when he was interviewed, when he was appointed, he would have been told this is the way the structure works. But all of a sudden, 5-6 weeks on, he's now saying he's going to need to take an increased part in the January transfer window plans. Again, I think the Rangers fans won't mind that, but it's just a sign that, you know, just by getting rid of those two doesn't mean everything's fixed. Other people are then going to need to contribute, and it's going to have to move in a different direction than what was intended.
Yeah, I was about to say there, I'm not against, you know, the manager having a bit of a say in the recruitment. That goes, you know,
I know, but if that's the structure, by the way, he would have a say anyway, but if that's the structure you've chosen, that's the structure you've chosen.
There's obviously things that haven't worked at Rangers up until now. You look at who's went out the door from last year to who's came in, and, you know, they're weaker. And if what Hugh's speculating there, if Danny Rose went to Kavanagh and they've addressed this, then they've moved quickly. But I would say Josh will be, like most Rangers fans out there, quite happy that Thirlwell and Patrick Stewart are away.
Oh, we've not had any tears shed on the phones in the last couple of
however,
nights.
It leaves a little bit from the football side of it, because then you've got a squad there that, you know, the manager, they might be thinking, well, the manager doesn't he? Who's he talking about? Who's the ones in the squad? So it might have a...
Do players make that connection where they say, oh, hold on,
is he talking about me?
No, I'm thinking more, the guy that brought all of us in
is away.
has been told he's so bad. Yeah. Does that mean we are? Does that mean we're rubbish?
Well, I mean, I think if you're an honest person, certain players will say, yes, I have been rubbish.
Fair enough. All right, thank you very much to Josh on the line. Before we go any further, let me tell you all about this.
The Black Friday deal to beat them all. Clyde One.
£700,000. And no, it's not the quote that Hugh Keevan's got from the travel agent to take the grandkids to the World Cup next summer. It is what you could win on Make Me a Winner. It's tax free. We guarantee a winner this Black Friday. Enter now if you want 15 entries into the draw. Text yes to 61025. Those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. Head to makemeawinner.co.uk for some brilliant Black Friday deals. You'll also find the rules for this network competition there. It's over 18s only. Or you can call 03 434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday, so you are running out of time. Good luck. Text yes to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are here. Let's hear from Rangers head coach Danny Rule, giving his reaction to the sackings of Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thelwell, and suggesting he may now have a bigger role to play in that transfer window coming up.
Yeah, I think at first it's always not nice when some people around you get sacked. I had a good relationship with Kevin. We were always in a daily business. We spoke to each other, with Patrick as well. Then I got a call from Andrew. He gave me this message. Then we had a meeting, a dinner together one day later. We spoke about the situation, the process, and yeah, now it's about moving forward, looking forward in the future. Yeah, I think if you have a sporting director, then you have always a link to the board. Now the link gets a little bit closer, because you go straight to some situations with Andrew. But I think he was very clear in his interview, I think, on during the week. What he expect, what he demand, but I have also still good people around me. They support me. I think this is crucial. I cannot do this alone or can make decisions alone. I think it's important to understand we have a good structure in the club. Of course, it changed now, but we have an interim CEO, Fraser, who's very experienced. He will help me. I have some guys from the board, from the 49ers around me, and as well we have also a recruitment department. And yeah, we all have to go together in one direction. We want to work on this. We know we have to do something, and let's see what we can do.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We have another Josh waiting there. Take it away, Josh number two.
Hello, panel. How are we all doing?
All good in here. What made you call though, Josh? What are you thinking?
Well, obviously with the removal of Thelwell and Stewart, I saw on Facebook today and Twitter that there's not been any confirmed information from Rangers themselves, but that's the son, I think it's Robbie, he's also away. My point is potentially to say that with the current structure of the club and head coach and the head of recruitment and stuff, maybe it's time that Andrew Kavanagh does revert and goes back to a more of a manager position, which I think has worked out better in the past for Rangers. So like the head coach role, reporting to the farewell position and stuff, if it's not working, maybe it's time we just kind of do scrap it all and go back to square one.
Yeah. Just on that, I, like you, saw that as well, the internet rumour that Robbie Thelwell is away. I must admit, I have absolutely no knowledge of that. It was only 2 days ago that Andrew Kavanagh said he didn't expect any other departures. So from where I, nothing to suggest that is the case, but maybe someone out there does know more than me, but which I'm sure you're all aware is entirely possible.
Yeah, I think his life would be impossible at Rangers now that his dad's gone.
But he's officially still there. That's the point I'm trying
but
to make.
But I do think in the fullness of time, he will go because his position is untenable. Brought in by his father, which was the reason for the criticism, and I fail to see how he can be head of recruitment throughout the next transfer window with his father having been thrown out of the place because he wasn't doing his job properly. So, you know, Robbie Thelwell cannot last long term at Rangers. And I think also listen to that clip that you played there, Gordon, of Danny Rule. When he came in at first, understandably, he was shy and slightly withdrawn in terms of his demeanour. But I now detect a ruthless streak where Danny Rule is concerned. And I think, you know, there will be a CEO and there will be a director of football because, unlike Josh on the line, that's not how modern football works now. Danny Rule won't assume the role of manager with responsibility for transfers. They will come in, but I think they'll also find that the man in charge of the football team is more ruthless than we might have suspected when he arrived.
I can see your sort of suggestion about a structural change, Josh. Does that not, totally defeat the purpose? Is it not the case that Rangers believe they appointed the wrong sporting director rather than, or director of football, rather than that they shouldn't have appointed one at all? Because if you go through this big takeover and 49ers Enterprises and Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marathi, and it's all thought through and they decide that the structure is director of football, sporting director, head coach. Do you rip all of that up because Kevin Thelwell didn't do a good enough job in the last couple of months?
I don't necessarily mean kind of rip up the whole structure. I feel more that, well, one of the main reasons that a lot of people believe that Stephen Gerrard never came back originally was he didn't have full control over who comes in, who comes out. I feel more that, I feel like more the backroom have more control over recruitment than the head coach who picks the team. I would like to see more of the manager or the head coach being more hands-on and having, you know how they say they have the final say over who comes in and who comes out? I would like that to be more into it in terms of...
Listen, but that's the... Look, a lot of this is fluid. We always wrangle with the intricacies of the director of football role and the sporting director. I'm not sure it was the case anyway that Kevin Thelwell said, you will get this player and you will like this player and you will play him. And I know people are joining dots with Chermiti and all that stuff, but I'm sure Russell Martin had an input. I'm sure Danny Rule would. I just... Like I said, to rephrase what I said to Josh, just because Kevin Thelwell was the wrong guy, does it mean the role is wrong?
I don't think so. I agree with Josh in that respect, though, that there has to be, as you say, a relationship there that can't just be, right, here's these players, blindly go and do your, work your wonders with them. I think there has to be a relationship between the two. But yeah, they've decided this is their structure, and as Hugh says, it's more... aligned to modern day football. I don't think they'll change that. I think they'll just go and look for more new personnel. They've obviously decided, these two were taking a lot of flack as well. It was a lot of pressure on them as well, from the crowd, the support, the Rangers support. So, you know, they've decided to take quick action with it, but I think the structure will stay.
Okay, thank you very much to Josh on the line. It takes us up to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the pundit time. Simon Donnelly was the worst player in the team by a mile, but he started to get the proverbial finger out. So if you want to test his form or go up against Hugh Keevan, you never know. You know, you talk about players being played out of position. It's a Wednesday. What does that mean for Hugh's mental state? Not in his usual Friday slot. Maybe you could take advantage there. Give us a call, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here alongside Simon Donnelly, but as always, much more interested in speaking to you. Just don't tell them that. Give us a call on 0141 951 1025. Big European games tomorrow. Hugh thinks both should give up on Europe this season. It is done. I think Rangers fans, you might reluctantly agree, just because of the points total and the arithmetic. Celtic fans, there's 4 points on the board. You've certainly got enough fixtures left. I appreciate things aren't going well, but what do you make of it? And Martin O'Neill confirming tonight this will certainly be his final European game in charge, and an appointment, presumably, of Wilfred Nancy is imminent, he says. So get all your thoughts in there. What about last night? There was a great Tuesday night in the top and the second top flight. Motherwell putting on a really, really impressive performance, the type of performance that's made people sit up and take notice if they hadn't before, beating 10-man Hibs, albeit 2-0 at home, and Partick Thistle winning to go joint top on points of the Scottish Championship. So it'd be nice to give those games a bit of attention if you fancy it. So 0141 951 1025, and we'll play this first.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, beat the pundit time. Let's see, let me check in on the record to see if Simon Donnelly's recovery is as good as I thought it was. Yep, third win in a row.
Three in the bounce.
So five defeats.
Not that I'm counting.
Five defeats in a row.
I forgot the defeats.
Then three wins in a row.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, you think that's a decent enough recovery? I don't mind that. Hugh, you've actually not played in over a month.
Well, I've turned into the Kilmarnock of beat the pundit anyway. You know, I'm just hopeless.
No, I don't. Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe you have actually. Right, Gregor is on the line. How are you, Gregor?
I'm very well. How's yourself, guys?
All good, thank you. I don't know if you heard last night, Gregor, but playing Beat the Pundit this week comes with a bit of extra responsibility. Is that okay with you?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Right, so every question the caller gets right all week, £10 goes to Cash for Kids.
All right.
It's thanks to Cairnhill Structures who've helped us out with that one. So last night, Kenny lost, but he got £30 for Cash for Kids.
Cool.
I think that seems
fair.
Yep. That seems fair. Softens the blow, Gregor.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, no pressure, eh?
But listen, you might have designs on beating these two dumplings anyway. So I'll toss the coin. If it's the blue side, it will be Hugh. Blue for Hugh. And the red side will be Simon Donnelly. And it is indeed Mr. Can he make it four in a row?
Come
Simon
on.
Over in the corner. So what we do, as always, is give the pundit something else to listen to, nice and loud if we can. And then that means, Gregor, you've got a bit of privacy. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. If you would rather pass, that is absolutely allowed, okay?
Smashing, sounds good.
Right, let's go then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Name any Celtic player who's made one league appearance this season.
Callum McGregor.
Who was the last team Rangers beat in a Europa League knockout tie?
RB Leipzig.
In which US city does the World Cup draw take place?
Dublin?
Name the only Scottish Premiership team who's lost six straight league games.
Livingston.
Are there more Americans or Canadians in the Scottish Premiership?
Canadians.
Who did St Mirren beat in their only Scottish League Cup final win in 2013?
Was it Kilmarnock?
Okay, let's bring back Simon Donnelly. Can you hear us, Simon?
Yes.
Same set of questions to you.
Why are you smiling?
Why are you smiling?
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Name any Celtic player who's made one league appearance this season.
Luke McCowan.
Who was the last team Rangers beat in a Europa League knockout tie?
Pass.
In which US city is the World Cup draw taking place?
We'll go New York.
Name the only Scottish Premiership team who's lost six straight league games.
Kilmarnock.
Are there more Americans or Canadians in the Scottish Premiership?
Canadians.
Who did St Mirren beat in their only Scottish League Cup final win in 2013?
Hearts.
Okay. Gregor, what do you think?
I've had an absolute shocker at one of the questions.
Yeah, I know.
Just listening to it back,
I know you have. So. I know. Oh, no. I'll get to that. And I can't wait to hear your thought process as well, if I'm being honest. But let's build up
a
bit of suspense.
Laughing about?
Yeah, it was. Right, let's go through and find out. Although, I'm now, there's a period of self-reflection here. I'm worried that I asked that question wrong, the first one. The producer's telling me that I missed the word only. Now I get that, but I think everybody knows what I mean. I said, who, name any Celtic player that's made one league appearance. I wouldn't say that if I meant Callum McGregor, as Gregor said, and you said Luke McCown.
Yeah.
Now, Callum, yes, so maybe I should have said only one, but please back me up here, Hugh. You would know what I meant.
Yeah, of course. That's why, as soon as I heard the question, I thought Callum Osmond.
So Gregor said Callum McGregor.
Only one was the question.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why I went Luke
exactly.
McCown, but I understood the question to be anybody. I don't know why
I'm usually willing to take criticism and admit that it was my fault.
I think you should just give me and Gregor a point, because then it's 10 quid as well.
Because you know what I need to know as well is why Luke McCown.
I don't know.
Because Gregor at least went for Callum McGregor.
Just this game does this to me.
I'm sorry, you should have known. One, they've made one league appearance. Hugh, did you understand it?
Callum Osmond.
That's good enough for me. Right. Callum Osmond, Jemai Simpson,
give
Pussy.
Give Gregor the point.
Jemai Simpson, Pussy, or Inamura would be the other ones that have made one. Yeah. Only one, I should have said. Right, whatever. Who was the last team Rangers beat in a knockout tie Europa League? It was Fenerbahce. Remember it last season? Jose Mourinho, etc.
Oh, yeah.
And none of you got it. In which US city, Gregor?
Yeah.
Does the World Cup draw take place?
What's she say?
Dublin. But you know what? I can't explain this to me, Gregor, because even if you didn't catch the US bit, why Dublin?
I could have sworn I read somewhere that like there was going to be like a draw in like an Irish city, so I just went for one. Then I heard US and I was like, oh no.
I can't defend that.
Gregor sounds as if he plays this game the same way as I do.
Yeah, you at least said New York, which is in the right
Washington.
Incorrect as well.
It's Washington, D.C. Confirmed as pot three. I think we knew that, but confirmed as pot three.
Yeah.
And getting very exciting next Friday.
Could have killed.
Fancy it? Dick Advocats.
Dick Advocats.
Boys.
Team, yeah.
Don't talk about it.
He's still under a bit of pressure to go.
In case she's listening.
Actually got a nice delivery through today. I don't think this is a new book, correct me if I'm wrong, but they've obviously capitalising on the feel-good factor, and rightly so. Someone sent me Archie McPherson's book, Adventures of the Golden Age, Scotland in the World Cup Finals, 74-90. It arrived at the studio today and I thought, that is going to get me right in the mood.
I've got an autographed copy from our time together in the caravan up at...
Anstruther.
And let me tell you, it's a brilliant book. Archie's a first class writer.
I'm going to get torn right into that. Anyway, it's Washington DC, which means
it's still 0-0.
It's 0-0 and no money to the poor children that need the help. However, Simon Donnelly eventually got one on the board. Six straight league defeats for Kilmarnock. Livingston are not going well, Gregor, but not quite as bad as that. So it's 1-0 Simon Donnelly. However, Gregor did get a point on the board. He got a tenner to cash for kids when he said there are more Canadians in the top flight. But unfortunately for you, so did Simon Donnelly. So the Canadians are Cornelius, who by the way has been replaced in the Europa League squad by Dejon Sterling today, just in case you missed that. Cornelius, Hoylett, Arfield, Brown and Johnston, whereas the US you've got Carter Vickers, Pulvara and Trusty. So you both got it. Simon is one in front. St Mirren beat Hearts in their only League Cup final in 2013. So it is a 3-1 win for Simon Donnelly, which makes me feel a bit better, Gregor, because even if I did make a mess of the first question, if I give you both a point, it wouldn't make any difference. So listen, you gave it a go, you put yourself out there to be shot at, and you did get a tenner into the pot to cash for kids.
Thanks to Cairn Hill Structures.
Will we do that? Does that seem fair? Give it to Gregor. Make it 20 quid. Cairn Hill Structures won't mind. Happy with that, Gregor?
Oh, brilliant. Thanks.
Who's your team?
I'm a Celtic man.
Hugh Keevans, in true Hugh Keevans fashion, says give up on Europe altogether. Would you go that far?
we'll see how it goes. I'm quite optimistic about Wilfred Nancy. My sister-in-law is Canadian and her dad's a huge Toronto FC fan.
Okay.
So really big into MLS and says like he's one to watch and he's going to be good. So feeling good about it.
That's it. Like, Hugh, you can only you can only go on certain things.
Yeah.
And the reports over there are good. I've heard Scott Allen talking about he's been tapping into to Johnny Russell, who's played loads and says, you know, coming up against these teams is a really tough ask.
Yep.
I think we had an MLS reporter on who said he thought he'd been the best coach in the MLS over the last X amount of seasons. Gregor's, was it your sister?
Sister-in-law.
So look, and that guarantees absolutely nothing. Of course it doesn't, no. But that's all you've got. You just go on these reports, you can analyse the CV, you can draw comparisons here and there. We'll see what happens when he arrives.
I think it's right not to dismiss Wilfried Nancy. It is wrong to automatically assume that he'll be Ange Postecoglou number two. We have to wait until the man gets here, and in a very short space of time, we will understand the ins and outs of Wilfried Nancy, because he'll have so many games falling on top of his head, and he will find out two things: the importance of a draw being a disaster and a defeat being a catastrophe. And he'll also find out that never mind Columbus, Ohio, never mind Montreal, this is a unique place on earth that he has or is about to come to.
Because we've said this before, when any managerial recruitment process is underway, Simon, they won't tick every box.
Yeah.
We cannot attract managers in this country that tick every box. That goes without saying. So the one that would probably be that sort of difficulty of grasping just how much you need to win every game, that's hard to replicate anywhere, never mind MLS, which is famously, you know, a bit more, I don't know if sanitised would be the right word, but you know, it's just not living the life and death the way
it's
it is
not
here.
To be on it, yeah.
But listen, you know, like I said, what he might not have experience wise there, he makes up in other ways. That's just, you're just trying to put an appointment together that ticks as many boxes as possible.
That's what it is. I said a few weeks ago, there's always risks. I mean, you only have to look to the Rangers ones changing so many times over the last few years. Celtic haven't been that way as such. It is a risk. We only have to go back 2 years three and a half years to Ange Postecoglou coming in, and you know, there was people laughing about his appointment, and I didn't know much about the guy, to be honest, but he was, when he left, you can look back and say it was a huge success.
So I don't think it's people are not saying he'll be the same as Ange Postecoglou. I think when they make the comparison, it's clearly about
I'm just saying it's the feeling that I mean, I don't know much about the guy. I'm interested to hear what Gregor was saying there about the guy.
I think in many ways it is actually slightly more in keeping with the way Celtic do their business, because in the last decade, Ronnie Dyla, Ange Postecoglou, Wilfried Nancy. Uh-huh. Now Brendan Rodgers now seems like a bit of an outlier. Are you going to get a manager that finished second in the English Premier League? It felt like an outlier, whether it was because of his ties to the club. They then went back to Neil Lennon, obviously, who they had before. But actually, in the last decade, to have three of these, not the same, but similar, in that maybe, you know, kind of hoping that you can come from a slightly different football environment and bring your ideas.
Everyone
here
always wants you know, people in charge of football clubs to do their homework properly, not to go down conventional roads. You know, people always want, at Rangers it seems to me, people always want an ex-Rangers man. They seem to think that would be much better for the club. Doesn't always work out that way. So yeah, Celtic have done their homework, come up with it. Nancy,
I believe he's bringing, is it one coach more? So, I mean, that's something new as well. Postecoglou came and inherited what was there.
Already there.
You know, he came as his own man. So it's different times for Celtic. It's something fresh, but it goes back to what we were saying before. You need to win games.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear from Martin O'Neill on this Celtic job and his feelings and insight on it at the moment.
Sometimes I think you would like, if it's going to be your last game, which it will be, then you would like it to maybe to be at Celtic Park. But it's away here, and again, it's nice to be involved in European football. But I think that you know, talking about how difficult the game was in Michelin, you know, we've got work to do, and I think we know that as a team and as a club.
Thank you very much to Gregor giving us his thoughts at the moment as well. Let's bring in Stephen, who is a Motherwell fan, and I would imagine pretty happy after last night, Stephen.
A very, very happy Motherwell fan. I heard he's talking about Wilfried Nancy there, and who would have known who Jens Bertolaskiu was before he takes the job at Turf Park? Well, I tell you, Scottish football slow in finding out. I think 797 passes last night, 94% pass completion, 70% possession. Look, I know we're playing against 10 men for two-thirds of that game, but we've seen how difficult it was for Man United to manage a game against 10 men the other night. I thought we were fantastic. And when you look at the Premier Sports Cup, there was teething problems. Some people were maybe getting a wee bit panicky, particularly with the amount of points that we were dropping. But we're 13 points out of the last 15 now, and it's just a joy to watch.
Yeah, look, I'm one of those. I do the old self-preservation thing. I always do. When you're a Motherwell fan, you might be scarred by years of it, and you don't want to kind of bum your team up too much, and it sets you up for a fall and all that stuff. But last night was quite something, honestly. Like I don't usually say that. Yeah. No, it's not a biased thing. Last night was something. As Stephen says, never once did I think I would follow Motherwell and care about their passing stats. Yeah. It wouldn't bother me. Nearly 800 passes and completed 94% of them.
With the greatest respect to Motherwell, and Stephen, I'm sure will agree this is the case, you're not talking about the best squad of players in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, this man, Mercedes Jens, as I call them, he's come in and made them a joy to watch. And while not dealing with the best budget or the best players. And he is mightily impressive. And as I say, you could argue the game of the weekend is not at Easter Road. It's not at Ibrox when Rangers play Falkirk. It's at Fir Park when Motherwell play Hearts.
And that's the thing, Simon. That's the bit about the not wanting to get carried away. Hearts have better players. Mm-hmm. Hearts may well come and win that game. Hearts are top of the league. That stuff's all fine. But to do what they're doing within... Yeah.
Their means... Like, style.
I think the context of last night's important for anyone who has overlooked it. He made five changes last night, mm-hmm. right? Moved to a back three, so five changes in personnel, changed formation, played no recognised striker, started two players for the first time this season, left out some real stalwarts of the team like Callum Slattery and so on, and then did that. Mm-hmm. By the way, Hibs are good. Hibs have got some really good individuals. And yeah. Stephen says, of course, there's the caveat about 10 men. But you can even tell from the start, the game plan was so specific and so different. And I must admit, I've never heard a manager go public on the national broadcaster last night and say, and can I be honest, Andy Halliday told me this on Monday in confidence, obviously. He said, our game plan tonight was to leave Grant Hanley on the ball. Sorry, Steve Clark. Let him come forward with it and also isolate him against Maswanisi, who's now the top scorer in the division. Again, it's not because it's my team or whatever. Last night was something. I wish the whole country had seen it. It was that good.
Listen, to be so specific and come out publicly, I was quite surprised at that, because you don't normally
do you like it?
Do I like it? I like the boldness of it, but I wouldn't give away too much, you know, for moving forward, if you know what I mean. And again, to go back to the passes that you were talking about, the amount of passes, you can say that about, it's unusual to say it about a Motherwell team, no disrespect, but you can say that about teams, but you were talking to me about the type of passes, you know, risks.
Because I know this is what will happen. Yeah. People will say, oh, what, did you pass it around the back?
Yeah.
But Stephen,
it wasn't that.
It's not that. It is never that, is it?
No, it's not that at all. We pick our moments. I think that with this manager, during the week, he'll show the players certain ways that the opposition are going to press, so the players know where the gaps are, so they press it this way, here's where the gap is. And I don't mind them coming out and saying it, because teams still have to stop us, and they're finding it very, very difficult to stop us just now. I'm not sure if Grant Hanley will like it, mind you, but listen, we're doing so well at the moment. The five changes last night, Oscar Priestman, as you mentioned, Gordon has had to wait for his chance, and he comes in last night, and there was a few people questioning why is Priestman starting. They showed exactly why. He was man of the match. He was outstanding. And that's the thing now. Usually with Motherwell teams, you go, we get a few injuries, we might
he might struggle here. But five changes last night, you're almost looking at it going, all right, if we get injuries, there's people there to come in. And by the way, I need to mention Stephen Welsh, because people won't look at Stephen Welsh. He's been brilliant. His ability, you can just tell he's come through at Celtic because he's so comfortable on the ball. His ability to find midfielders and just get us in the right areas of the pitch is it's just brilliant. Mm.
I said that to you in the office, didn't I? Before we go on. Stephen Welsh has been brilliant, honestly. Really good.
But on behalf of Roger Hanna, David Friel and myself, I hope that other managers follow Jens Bertel Askew's style.
See how we picked on him.
And just say before the game, we'll be concentrating on Andy Halliday because he's a dud.
I'd also like to pick David Gray's brains a bit more. Because he was very quick. He offered it up very quickly in his post-match comments to say, I mean, it's not like Motherwell did anything that different that surprised us. I thought, well, they changed their shape, made five changes and played no recognised striker. If David Gray predicted that, I need the lottery numbers off him.
He never really listen, he'd probably be disappointed with the result and try to see things from his perspective. He never really was very complimentary of it. He emphasised the 20-25 minutes. I never seen the game, Gordon, but he talked about the first 20-25 minutes. As I said earlier on the show, seeing Motherwell in the flesh at Celtic Park, it's probably the most impressive opposition there, and they were unlucky not to take anything on the day. Ironically, the way they play caught them out, but the keeper made a wrong decision at the wrong time that allowed Celtic back in the
he's
the
another
game.
One like, see last night as well, like you're going to have to take the rough with the smooth on that. See last night, pass it.
You see, to be honest, seeing that in that game at Celtic Park, he hadn't made a mistake.
Exactly.
But ultimately, when you're playing at that depth in the pitch, it's.
And by the way, just so you know, there's no real bias attached. I think it's a harsh penalty. I think if we're talking about handballs, and sometimes this happens when you get a high-profile one that's not given at Ibrox, then refs get very sensitive about it and they start panicking and wonder if they're made. And maybe I'm being unfair, but I thought Grant Hanley was a bit hard done by in the penalty.
Tell that to Willie Collum the next time.
I will, don't you worry. But my goodness, he had a tough evening. Thank you to Stephen. We'll take more of your calls next.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
And no disrespect to yous guys, right? But I'm hoping that yous probably go before me.
After a meal, she smoked a cigarette, drank a small amount of port wine, and then she would be in her bed by 10 o'clock.
Yes, Stephen. There you go. And the wee boy says, I could have missed her best, but we're not allowed off the horses.
What's that? I thought I'd pushed a button there.
I thought you'd pushed a button as well, like a sort of Gordon DL sound effect.
Check it out on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel, or get it where you get your podcasts now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are about to tackle a full-time teaser, which has been sent in by Chris in Elgin, and it is very apt. You can see why Chris has been thinking along these lines. If you like the sound of this, you want to submit a question to the panel, hear it used on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. And Chris says, can you name 7 Dutch players with 15 or more appearances for Celtic since 2006? So 7 Dutch players, 15 or more appearances for Celtic since 06.
Pierre Van Houten?
Not since 06.
Hesselink.
No. Yes. 101 appearances, apparently. You've named somebody for the Simon Donnelly era, for goodness sake.
Yeah, it's going back a bit too far.
Reggie Blinker.
Again.
Too far.
No.
Dutch.
Okay, listen, we can leave it there because you've only got 6 more to get. That's
Van der Snow.
Yes, 46 appearances. So that's 2 down, 5 to get. Let's see if we get them before the end of the show. Frank is on the line. How are you, Frank?
I'm not bad, but not half as good as yourself, Gordon.
Right.
I think you're practically paying him to come on and talk about the rule last night.
Folk are going to think I paid you, Frank.
No, you're okay there. But I'm in a bit of a kind of, if you might call a football heaven this week. My two favourite teams to watch who are entertaining this season are last night and tonight, and the greatest club in the world are playing on Thursday, so what more could I ask? And that's my two favourite teams. I said this to you a month or 6 weeks ago, Gordon, to watch in Europe is PSG and Motherwell.
Great. Listen, what a duo. Rolls off the tongue.
I said that to you about a month ago, and there was laughs, and there was I watched Motherwell for the first game they've played, and they play football the way football should be played. It's an entertainment first and foremost. That's what this sport's about, to have people going away glad they've spent their 90 minutes where they've been, not bored at their brains, not dreading the next game. It's about wanting people to come back to watch their team. And Motherwell are a credit, and the manager's a credit.
Joe, I think that's interesting, Frank, because look, it's just another measurement, right? And granted, it's a small one. Motherwell will be based on how many points they get and where they finish and all the rest of it. But I do think if you, as a small club like that, that, you know, don't grab headlines, if you can impress non-fans of your team,
yeah,
like you are, Frank, then it probably does speak volumes for the way they're going about their business, doesn't it?
I watch football. Well, there's a guy next to me who watched a similar number of decades, probably. And the greatest teams in the world, the greatest teams that we remember are the ones that have entertained us. It's not the ones that have won things. People don't remember statistics about how many this, that, or the other. People remember teams who have excited them, entertained them. And, well, my beloved Celtic, who are playing on Thursday, their greatest feat. And I said this to you 6 weeks ago, trying to impress the point. The point being that how you play, how a team plays, is actually more important than winning.
And that, Frank, is dependent upon managers. And
but just finishing to you, Jock Stein said that. I take it you're a fan of Jock Stein, Hugh.
Well, that was the point I was going to make, since you were talking about your club, that Steen made the post-war Celtic the modern-day Celtic that they are. And, of course, won the European Cup. Martin O'Neill took Celtic to the European final and played magnificent football. It, for me, stems from the manager. And I would, again, say that people who are now dancing on Brendan Rodgers' grave should be a little more respectful. He brought 11 trophies to the club and had an invincible season and played football that was entertaining. But latterly, he and the man who owns the club fell out, and that's that. But Motherwell Football Club had a manager, I think, for 12 games, Michael Vimmer. And when he went away, I thought, oh, chaos will follow now. But they got a good manager who has higher to climb, and I said it earlier on in the season and everyone laughed, but has higher to climb, clearly has higher to climb in the game, and he has made Motherwell the joy to watch that they are, and Frank has recognised that.
This is what, look, Frank is not a Motherwell fan,
yeah,
and yet I actually wouldn't
hear raving about
I wouldn't go as far, funnily enough, I wouldn't go as far as Frank, because if you said to me, right, Motherwell can play this way this season and not win anything, but they'll play a so-called uglier brand next season and win the Scottish Cup, I would still take that.
Yeah,
I think right now I would. Right, it's still, you know, I want that. It's that winning feeling. But who's to say you can't do both? And then also similarly, winning stuff is hard when you're a club of this size. So it's maybe not a straight choice like that. I always figure Motherwell will probably finish in a roughly similar bracket of the league. So why not just do it this way? I've never, honestly, in my life, because it's all personal opinion, I've never cared about the style Motherwell played. Never, ever, ever. And yet, now that you see it, you go, oh, this is an absolute delight.
But when you came in tonight, the first thing you talked to me about was the performance last night.
It opens your eyes.
I'm with Frank. I'm absolutely with Frank. Throughout the years, the teams that make that footprint or that thing that stays in your head are the ones that perform at a level and play with a style.
Because I don't think it's a stretch to say they're the best footballing team in the league. Are they the best team in the league? No, because they don't have the best players, and they never will. Look at the budget of Celtic, look at even Hearts and all that. They're not the best team in the league.
Yeah.
I think they're the best footballing team in the league, though. And I don't think that's controversial.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, maybe 5-10 years from now, you'll remember that Motherwell team because of that. And who's to say they won't go and win something in the semi-final of the League Cup?
That's what I'm saying. But that's the balance then, because
of course
St. Mirren do
things.
St. Mirren go about it in a different way, and they're brilliant at it.
Yeah.
And they came out on top, and then some in the League Cup final, and they may have gone up. So I don't think, I'm not quite as far along the line as Frank. I don't think there's right, I don't think there's wrong, but that doesn't mean you can't enjoy what they're doing at Fir Park at the moment.
I would love to ask Frank what he thinks of Wilfred Nancy. Is he going to be that manager who can entertain Frank?
Thanks, Hugh, for asking. The point with Wilfred is we don't know. We don't let anything in football. We just have to wait and see. Reading what we hear about him, he wants to play roughly the same brand of football as Ange did. I waited 50 years, approximately, for somebody like Ange Postecoglou to come along to Celtic Park. I'm not decrying people like Martin and Neil and the great teams that he produced and all that. I'm talking about the style of football, the entertainment for 90 minutes. That this guy seems, by all accounts, to want to bring that to Celtic. But I think the problem he has is that he's inheriting a bunch of players that I would like to think they'll be able to adapt to his style. But that generally takes a bit of time, and I all I can say now to Celtic supporters is be Celtic supporters for the next year or 18 months. Be Celtic supporters. Trust the guy. Let him go on with his job. Let him remould the team into his image, how he wants the game to be played. And that'll only come with the backing of the support and the patience of the support. Supporters now are so demanding, so unforgiving, and we have to, I'm talking about my club here, I'm begging Celtic supporters to get back to being Celtic supporters. Give the manager all the time he needs. Let him produce. And I do believe that in time, if what I read about the guy and how he wants to play the game, we will be Celtic supporters coming on and saying the same things that we did about Ange, and the same things that Motherwell fans are coming on and saying about Motherwell, because football has to be an entertainment. The fans have got to be excited. They've got to want to go the next week. No being able to wait for the next 6 days to pass till they go and see their team again. That is what football's about. That's why it's the greatest sport in the world. But it has to be done and played properly.
Thank you very much, Frank. I'm going to have to leave it there because I'm a bit late for this break. And as much as I loved you waxing lyrical about Motherwell, I could have done it all night. Believe me, I need to tell you about this, which is extremely important. Let's do it.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community.
Well, since we're on about stats, here's one that is not as enjoyable. 1 in 4 children in the west of Scotland are living in poverty, and we need your help to try and change that, which is obviously a big aim, or at least just help with that at the moment. So some families are panicking how they're going to get through Christmas. We know it's a tough time of year for loads of people, and you know, we're talking about paying bills here and putting food on the table before you even get to presents and all the rest of it. So if you make a donation, we can help the families with basics that they need. And if you want an example, things that we do with that money at Cash for Kids, let's hear a bit from Jordan from the Killie community. They're an independent charity based at Rugby Park. They use the power of football, that speaks a lot to our audience here, I think, to help improve lives. And he tells us how Mission Christmas helps the children that he works with.
So during the school holidays, we know of young people that aren't getting 3 warm meals a day. And we know of some that are scraping around in cupboards for things like dry cereal. It's heartbreaking. It's a heartbreaking cycle. And that's where Cash for Kids really makes a difference for these kids. Having that consistent, warm, healthy meal that they can rely on is so important for their well-being and their future prospects. This is helping lift people out of poverty.
Clyde1.com/mission if you want to donate. And if you're planning to fundraise, whatever you're doing, let us know about it. We'd be happy to give you a mention. And we guarantee every penny goes to the children that need or help the most. So that's Clyde1.com/mission. And as always, a big thanks to J&D Pierce, who've been supporting Cash for Kids for the last 6 years.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Quick show as always. That's us into the final part with Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans. Plenty of time to squeeze a call in though, if you fancy it. Give us a shout or send a message, whatever you want. We've got a good full time teaser up and running as well, sent in by Chris in Elgin. Can you name 7 Dutch players with 15 or more appearances for Celtic since 2006? You've got Jan Venegor of Hesselink, Evander Snow,
Virgil van Dijk.
Yes, I wondered how long it would take you to get that one.
Jeremy Frimpong.
Yes.
Doris de Vries.
Yes, okay, 2 to get. So we will get them before the end of the show, I hope. And a quick reminder for anyone who thinks that they could come up with a question like this and have it used on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's hear a bit from Nicholas Raskin. It's the first time we've really heard from him, I think, since the whole frozen out the team, Russell Martin, fans chanting his name, get him back in, Russell Martin goes and so on. These are the thoughts of the Belgian midfielder.
No, it was difficult. I can't lie, it was really difficult for me that period. And I'm still trying to get back to my best form, and whether it's physically or mentally. Yeah, it's not been great. And I've not enjoyed every part of it. Like, I've read a lot of wrong stuff every here and there. But I had to be quiet and just trying to do my best to get back to playing and to get back to helping the team. I think there's a picture that's been tried to be painted on me. By that time, that wasn't really what was happening in the building. Yeah, it was a point where it was tough and I had clear indication that my future was in doubt. But obviously, I'm very happy here. We've got a new manager. We're trying to build something good, something nice. And we've got loads of things to do. So yeah, I'm really happy, and I'm not deciding anything. I'm just waiting for anyone to come and talk to me.
I think he and Russell Martin were totally incompatible, and had Russell Martin stayed, then he would have to have gone. But Russell Martin was the one who left, and he could prosper under Danny Rule. I say could because he's still capable of the occasional seriously under par performance. Last Saturday, for example, at home against Livingston, he was as bad as everyone else. So he's got a way to go, but he's clearly a happier player because Russell Martin's not in the building.
Let's bring in Mark, who is a Rangers fan, on the line. What's the gist of your point tonight, Mark?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I phoned up a few weeks ago, and Hugh was on the call, and I was highly critical, as most people were, of Patrick Stewart, and in particular Kevin Thelwell and his financial involvement with Cerniti and various other people who were coming in. However, I am therefore delighted that Kevin Thelwell has gone. I was kind of ambivalent about Patrick Stewart, but I'm delighted that Kevin Thelwell has gone. And I'm also delighted that Rangers now have the German manager, who I have phoned up about many times over the years. And in fact, I mentioned it the last time I was on. And in fact, you may remember that I can go back as far as when Rangers were appointing Paul Le Guin, and I wanted Otmar Hitzfeldt. He was unemployed at that time.
Why does it have to be a German manager, Mark? What do you mean, sorry? Why?
I'll come back to that in just a moment. But can I just say, I am delighted that they have got these people have departed. But I am not opposed to the idea, certainly not a chief executive, I think that's essential. And the sporting director model is fine, so long as the sporting director is accountable to the manager, not the head coach. I think they should revert back to manager. But the sporting director can take the responsibility of seeking out those who the manager wants, but the manager has to take the final decision. And I think that's a model which Danny Rule has operated under. It's certainly a model that does operate on the continent of Germany. I think my concern was that it's completely different to that, where the manager or head coach was accountable to the sporting director. It needs to be the other way around. If I just
Mark, your line's breaking up a little bit, I'm afraid. We're struggling to hear you. I can probably just about make it out because I've got the big headphones on, but I think if you're listening in the car or whatever, it might be a struggle. But the gist of Mark's point there, Hugh, talking about, you know, obviously, like, loads of Rangers fans happy those two have gone, but yeah, happy to stick with the structure ultimately, because I know we had a previous caller who wasn't so sure.
Yeah, that it's the modern day structure, and Rangers clearly will pursue the appointment of a CEO and a director of football, because Andrew Kavanagh has said that those talks are well underway. With regard to Kevin Thelwell, who on this programme in particular, since the news broke of the two men leaving, 99% of people only want to talk about Kevin Thelwell.
It's funny, and, that, isn't it?
Yeah. And Barry Ferguson, in his newspaper column this morning, made it abundantly clear that he did not rate Kevin Thelwell in that particular role. Another former Rangers player that I won't name, but who said that he was astonished when Kevin Thelwell was appointed at Ibrox because he had worked with him elsewhere and had not rated him
at all. Did someone say this publicly?
No.
All right, okay.
No, that's why I'm not naming him.
I was wondering where you were going with this.
But had worked with him elsewhere and had not rated his work. So it would appear that very early on he has been found out, and Rangers are now in the market for a new director of football. And he has been found out. If it's a results-driven business, then that applies to who you bring into the club, and his results in terms of who he brought into the club have been poor.
Thanks to Mark. Listen, that line was a bit ropey, but we certainly got a lot of what Mark was trying to get across, and of course it's back to just on the field for Rangers tomorrow. I didn't mean to leave Rangers out of this. A lot of the theme was sort of, are Celtic giving up on Europe? Rangers picture's a lot worse, obviously. They're at the bottom of the table, they don't have any points. But what do you think that looks like then for Danny Rule? Because you're not going to want to roll over and get, you know, and especially at home, and especially when you're trying to, you're in the process of building something. What's to say that putting in some good European performances doesn't lead? I wonder what the appetite's like there tomorrow.
That was my point at the start. It always, whatever they do tomorrow affects the next game. If you imagine you went tomorrow and it was a terrible result at Ibrox and Braga turned them over, it just, they feel good. They want to keep building, and it's the same for Celtic. Everything affects. You have to get into every game, prepare for it correctly, but it affects the following game in the domestic.
I am frequently shown to be wrong, however.
I know you're going to say Danny Rose won the four, but it would have an effect if it was a disappointing result tomorrow.
No, I was going to say, for me, the same reason why I'm so pessimistic about Rangers' chances and Celtic's chances tomorrow is that I find it hard to believe that they can go from two league performances so bad as the ones against Livingston on Saturday afternoon at Ibrox and against St Mirren at Paisley on Saturday night. I find it difficult to believe you can go from being that mediocre to bad and then come up with two European victories in midweek.
The quirk of this, what's the word I'm looking for? The format of the Europa League is that there's an overlap in opposition. Braga have already been to Celtic Park.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, but then again, Celtic weren't, and naturally that's where we maybe show a lot of our focus. So I don't know, if they turn up and put in a similar performance at Ibrox, what would that do?
Apparently, domestically speaking, they're moving along very nicely. Yeah. As I say,
they were decent at Celtic, but Celtic should have. That's what kind of didn't.
Well, that was, and that was
stopped
the day.
The campaign in its tracks straight away.
And also,
home games, you've got
talk
to
about, talk about more. Look, Celtic have had loads of criticism and they have deserved it and they'll continue to get it, but that was the infamous Iheanacho disallowed goal, which nobody can quite get their head around.
Very true.
You know, when that happens domestically, we pore over it for quite some time.
Yeah.
Anyway, right, let's go. I need two more Dutchmen with 15 or more appearances for Celtic since 2006. Van Dijk, Hesselink, Frimpong, Snow, De Vries.
Berichter.
Yep, Berichter, and...
Need a clue with the last one.
Defender. Played a lot of his football in England as well for the likes of Sunderland, Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh.
He's a sort of Mark Wilson era type Celtic player.
Louvins.
Glenn Louvins.
I played with him the other week there.
There you go. See, that's what happens when you turn up to every charity game going.
You
cross paths with these guys. Thank you. Tomorrow's a big night in Europe. Whether you've given up in Europe or not, it's still going to be a big evening. Nevertheless, we will be here at 6 o'clock. I look forward to it already. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.